What can you say about Roger Ebert? He died yesterday after a long battle with cancer. A brain tumor took the life of his longtime film reviewer partner Gene Siskel years ago. Tragedy there, but Siskel and Ebert were first a show and then a phenomenon. But it was Roger Ebert who by himself combined Chicago no-nonsense intelligence with his absolute passion for the movies to change movie reviewing and then change the movie business itself. He was certainly one of a kind.
Since 1976, when he directed Taxi Driver, Martin Scorsese has stood, I think, alone at the top of the art of film directing in the world today. His Raging Bull was generally conceded to be the best film of the decade of the 1980s, and now with Goodfellas, Scorsese has scored another magnificent achievement.
Wow, listening to that voice. You know, when Ebert blasted onto the scene, movie reviewers were either impenetrable intellectuals like Pauline Kael or quasi-Hollywood clowns like Gene Shalit. Ebert, while respecting both of them, changed all of that and changed the movies for all of us. Jim Palmer is director of the Conference on World Affairs, senior professor of film studies at the University of Colorado, and has been a good friend of Roger Ebert for more than a decade. Jim Palmer, welcome to the program.
Thank you much, John. It's a pleasure to be with you.
This is a sad day. What are your feelings?
Roger was the heart and soul of the conference for many, many years. The only person who was at the conference longer than Roger was the founder, Howard Higman. So Roger used to say that he spent the better part of a year in Boulder. He just did it one week at a time.
And part of his relationship to the people of Boulder and the conference that you curate was really an outgrowth of his rapport with his audience as a film reviewer. What did you see? Tell me some stories of just how he interacted with the people who loved him so much.
Well, he had enormous candor, and he could create a sense of intimacy with a crowd of 500 or 1,000 people. And he talked not only about film. He did have his interruptus, which was analyzing a film, one film all week long, and he loved doing that. But when he spoke about personally about his alcoholism or his long extended battle with cancer, I think people in the audience felt that he was talking directly to them, and it created an enormous sense on the part of our attendees that they were all friends of Roger's. Mm.
Do you think Roger Ebert changed the movies themselves, raised the bar, made independent films more viable?
Oh, absolutely. He had extraordinary range of tastes, and I think Siskel had a very particular and very good taste in movies, but Roger would find a way to like a film that Gene didn't think of much of, and of course they went at it at the movies all the time.
And all of our thumbs will never be the same, right?
Never, up and down. I think he copyrighted thumbs up, as a matter of fact.
No, I think even our movie reviewers on this program can't use the thumbs up idea. We get caught on that all the time. So legacies in many ways. Jim Palmer is director of the Conference on World Affairs and senior professor of film studies at the University of Colorado, longtime good friend of Roger Ebert. We're talking about the influence of Roger Ebert on the movies and on the movies that maybe you saw. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE with your remembrance of Roger Ebert or what you think his impact was, or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Speaking to Jim Palmer, director of the Conference on World Affairs and senior professor of film studies at the University of Colorado in Boulder, good friend of Roger Ebert. And Jim, you had a particular insight into Roger's relationship with his long decline and struggles with cancer. I'm wondering how he thought of that epic battle, because he, of course, reviewed so many movies that were about people battling with these kinds of things.
Well, he talked about his battle with cancer very candidly at the conference. There were a number of panels that he was on. one titled Illness and the Meaning of Life. And I do remember this was early on when Roger still had his voice. And he would he was on a liquid diet, so he held up this can and said, this is what I'm living on right now. And the people responded, I can remember in that particular panel, people responded by giving testimony to Roger's courage. It didn't last very long because Roger said enough, enough. He didn't he wasn't one for self-pity or praise, but he deserved it given the courageous battle that he fought. That's for sure.
Why do you think he held on and really seemed to embrace this role as this custodian of quality in the movies and reminding people that we need intelligent movies? Because he could have retired. He could have gone off and just had a quality of life without having everyone peering at him and just how cancer had dramatically changed his face, his voice, everything about him.
Well, Roger was a genuine intellectual, not only with film. He really didn't want to be pigeonholed as the film guy at the Conference on World Affairs. He said that he grew up at the Conference on World Affairs, and I think what he meant about that is that it kept him in touch with what was going on culturally in the country, black power movement, feminism, gay rights, the new technology of computers and the internet. So Roger loved coming to the conference and being on panels on friendship or loneliness and being able to talk with people and meet people. He loved Molly Ivins. They were very, very close friends. And Bucky Fuller and Ted Turner, Margot Adler, Studs Terkel, of course, but Studs and Roger knew each other because they were both Chicagoans. Howard Nemeroff, the poet, some Rusty Schreikert, astronaut, and Roger was a real Anglophile. He loved the Brits. And when he lost his voice, you know, they created a computer for him, and eventually they got a computer that sounded pretty much like Roger's voice, but in the early days, it was a voice that had a British accent, by his request,
yeah.
And he called it Sir Lawrence because he always wanted to sound like a Brit, particularly Simon Hoggart, who still comes to our conference and is a political reporter for The Guardian.
What will you miss most?
Just listening to Roger, you were in the presence of somebody whose range of knowledge, whether it was talking about his favorite novel or evolution or any number of topics, you were aware that you were listening to a man thinking aloud and with such enthusiasm and passion.
Jim Palmer, director of the Conference on World Affairs in Boulder, Colorado. He's a senior professor of film studies there. Jim was a good friend of the late Roger Ebert.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.